Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
I absolutely love El Salvador. I went there for the first time 3 years ago with my church back in Midland just for a week-long missions trip. And then last summer, I actually got to spend 6 weeks working with Castillo del Rey, going all over Central America, just getting to influence kids for Jesus, going to Belize, Nicaragua, Honduras, and in El Salvador as well. So just super pumped about that. But how many of you guys knew that El Salvador is actually the second nation in the world for gang violence? A couple hands, yeah. Also, did you know that it is number 5 in the world for homicides? In the world. That's not just in Central America. That's in the world. It's crazy. And I hope, don't tell your parents that because maybe you can't go next time. But no. No, it's cool the favor that God's given the ministry there. But it's a hurting country. It's a hurting country. Do you guys have any siblings that are in the second or third grade age range, about 7 or 8 years old? Anyone have a sibling there? A couple. Yeah. My brother is 8 years old. And if he were in El Salvador, he would be a prime target for these gangs. And not that he would be a target like they're going to try to kill him, but they would try to recruit him. These kids at ages 7 and 8 are being recruited by the gangs in El Salvador because they come from broken homes where there's alcohol abuse, drug abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse. These kids do not grow up in good situations. And they're just craving something real. They're craving a love. They're craving acceptance. And they try to find it in the gangs, but it's only found in Jesus. It's only found in Jesus. But it's so cool. Amidst all that that's going on in El Salvador, King's Castle is just making a huge impact, so much to the point that these gangs see what's happening. They see the good that the ministry is doing, and they have brought their kids to King's Castle and say, hey, will you please take our kids? You please take our kids? We don't want them to have the same lifestyle that we do. It's just so incredible that amidst all this violence and everything that's going on, God is still using this ministry and impacting the lives of these guys that are stuck in the gang. It's so cool. And I get the privilege to go back to El Salvador coming up this May. I'm going for 2 years as a missionary associate. I'm pumped for it. I love El Salvador so much. But I get to help the ministry with their accounting needs. You can be a nerd and serve Jesus. Example right here. There you go. But I also love kids ministry, so I'm going to be working with them in both of those ways to help influence kids for Jesus. So afterwards, if you guys will take one of the prayer cards that I have, that was really weird to get my own prayer card. I have lots of other people's, but I have my own. It's weird, but it's good. So if you guys will grab one of those on your way out, be praying for me as I raise the funds here, and it's going to be good. I can influence kids for Jesus, and you can have a part in that too as you pray. So it's going to be good. If you guys have your Bibles, will you take them and turn to Psalm chapter 40, verse 10. It says, I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. I have not concealed it. I really like how the message says it, and they're going to put it up on the screen for us. In the message it says, I've preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept back nothing, God. You know that. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret. I didn't keep it to myself. I told it all, how thorough you are and how dependable you are. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth for myself alone. I told it all. Let the congregation know the whole story. I love that last part. Let the congregation know the whole story. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, I ask that it would not just be my words, but it would be your words. God, I ask that you would meet with us tonight in a profound way. Would you impact our lives? Would you change the trajectory of our lives tonight, Lord? Have your way in this service tonight. We are here for you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I get the honor and the privilege of kicking off a new series with you guys that Pastor Carl will be finishing up in the weeks to come, but it's called Will You? That's the name of the series, Will You? And we'll be discussing different questions that start off with this. Will you do this or will you do that? And so tonight, the big topic and big idea is, will you be an influencer? Will you be an influencer? How many of you guys want to be an influencer? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's awesome. All right. Well, before we get into that, I want to ask you a separate question. How many of you guys, show of hands, have heard the phrase cause and effect? Or in Bible terms, we'll call it like sowing and reaping. All right, you guys are familiar with it. So it basically means that if you do a certain action, you have a fairly certain guarantee that something will happen as a result of that. So let's say I go out and I play basketball. I want to be Steph Curry, just draining threes all day, all day. And so I go out, I practice. The result will probably be that I get better at basketball. I mean, my luck in sports, probably not, but that's what should happen. Now, if I consume a lot of baked beans, the result could be an odor later, if you're kind of picking up what I'm laying down. Or maybe I should say if you're catching my drift, maybe that's a little better way. But back to holy things. Anyways, so... But no, seriously though, let's say I really invest into pure, wholesome thoughts. What's the result of that going to be? I'm going to have a pure and a holy life lived out before the Lord. But if, on the other hand, I focus on having negative thoughts, impure thoughts, dirty thoughts, what's the result of that going to be? I'm going to have a life of sin, a life of compromise, and ultimately death. My point is, guys, is that nothing we do in this life is neutral. There is no neutral ground. If you decide to be neutral, you're still making a decision. You're still choosing to do something. And that comes down to whether or not you're going to influence or not. You have to make a decision. Nothing we do is neutral. Absolutely nothing. I want you to keep this in mind as we talk about, will you be an influencer? But to start, let's just simply define influence. What is influence? I would simply say that influence is giving someone an opportunity to be introduced to Jesus. Whether that is a friend of yours, maybe it's a family member that doesn't know the Lord, or just someone you meet as you go through life, a moment of influence is when they have an opportunity to be introduced to who Jesus is. They get to be introduced to Jesus. So that's what it is. Why do we do it? Why do we influence? Quite simply, it's just because Jesus told us to. I mean, if the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords tells you to do something, probably better off doing it. You know what I mean? It's a good decision to do that. But he says in Matthew 28:19, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. And then in Acts 1:8, he says, you are my witnesses to your city, to your nation, and to the nations around. You see, guys, the thing with influence is this isn't just something you do if you go to El Salvador. If you go to another state in the U.S., if you go overseas to China or to Africa, this is something you guys are called to do in your schools. It's something you guys are called to do in your homes even. Anywhere you go, you are to be making disciples, to be influencing people, to be giving them an opportunity to introduce them to Jesus. Now, the majority of the time tonight, I want to talk about how do we do this. How do we influence? What are some basic things we can do to be able to say, yes, I will be an influencer? And so to do that, I have three questions I want to ask you guys. And the first one's coming up on the screen now. Will you be available? Will you be available? Now, this is fairly simple, fairly straightforward. Will you be available when an opportunity that is clear for influence presents itself? Maybe Pastor Carl is planning a night at Rage when he's like, hey, man, bring your friends. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be bumping the music. It's going to be great. Awesome opportunity to invite your friends. There's a chance where you can invite them to Rage, and they have an opportunity to be introduced to Jesus. Or maybe you're just going throughout your day at school, sitting at the lunch table, and maybe some people start talking about something, and you could offer very clearly a biblical perspective on what they're talking about. Maybe they're talking about cheating on their test. Maybe they're talking about gay marriage. You have an opportunity to offer what Jesus says. You have an opportunity to share the word with them. And being available is just seeing those opportunities and seizing them. taking a hold of it. And a really cool thing, I've heard this happen sometimes, is what if a friend sees that your life is different? What if they can already see that your life is different? They come up to you and say, hey, man, you always seem so happy. And I think you know Jesus. Like, what's all this stuff about Jesus in the Bible? And they get to, you get to introduce them to Jesus right there. Don't just blow that off and be like, oh, who's Jesus? I don't know. Like, take advantage of that opportunity. Be available. Be available. The second question I want to ask you guys is, will you follow and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? Will you follow and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit? This one can be a little harder at times. Can be a little harder because it takes a little bit more of a step of faith. Maybe you may not see a clear opportunity, but the Lord is coming along and just kind of nudging you, just kind of speaking to your heart and saying like, hey, why don't you go talk to this person over here? Or hey, why don't you go sit with this person for lunch? They don't have anyone to sit with. It's being attentive to what the Holy Spirit has to say. It's listening in for what he has to say, maybe how he would want you to introduce himself to another person. Now, some ways that this happens is God will give you a specific word. In the Bible terminology, we call this a word of knowledge. He'll give you something specific for one person, and he'll say, hey, I want you to go speak this specific thing into their life. Now, I realize that sometimes this can be a little hard, sometimes a little hard to determine, like, man, is this me? Is this God? I don't know what's going on. Who is it? I need help. So I came up with four easy questions just to kind of help you guys, give you a tool to see, is this word truly from God or is this just something that I'm thinking of? So we're going to put them up here on the screen for us. And so the first one is, does it line up with Scripture? That's the first thing and most important thing. Does it line up with Scripture? God is not going to do anything or tell you to do anything or say anything that does not line up with the Word of God. If it's not in this book, then it's not from him. Plain and simple. Second one, does it edify or encourage the person? The Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ. God isn't here to condemn us or to tear us down, but he wants to build us up. He wants to encourage us. So does the word that you have for this person offer encouragement to them? Third, is it loving? Pretty straightforward. God is love. Is it loving? Enough said for that one. Is it hopeful? Is it hopeful? Does it instill a sense of hope in the person? Does it instill a sense of hope in the person? God came to give us hope. The Bible says that Jesus is our hope as we live on this earth. Now, an example of what this would not be is, hey, man, so I didn't study for my test and I didn't do my homework last night, but God showed me that you're really good at math. So he said I could copy your homework. Well, that's an example of what it would not be. God would not tell you to cheat, for sure. That's not scriptural. But something that it could be an example of is if God gives you a word and he says, hey, man, God wants me to tell you that he sees what you're going through at home. He sees your pain, your struggle, and he wants you to know that he loves you and he'll never reject you. That could be a time when you're actually instilling hope in someone's life. It shows them that, hey, God actually knows me and God actually cares. That's an example of what a word from the Lord could be. So just remember those four things. Does it line up with Scripture? Does it edify or encourage? Is it loving? Is it hopeful? Now, the last question, the last of the three. Most important one, save the best for last, as they say. But by far the most important question for being able to answer, not only will you be an influencer, but also to be able to say, I will be available. I will follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And here it is. Will you have a daily personal quiet time dedicated to the Lord? Will you have a daily personal quiet time dedicated to the Lord? Will you say yes to that? Can you say that that is something you'll do? And I realize that maybe some of you might be thinking like, wait, hold on a second. I thought we were talking about influence. Yeah, we're talking about influence. Okay, but you just said that I need to have a quiet time. Yeah, I did. Okay, but with a quiet time, I'm all alone. I thought for influence, I'm supposed to be out with other people. If I'm in my quiet time, I'm just alone. But what I have to say to that is this. Are you truly alone? Are you truly alone in your quiet times? Think about it. Are you truly alone in your quiet time? If you think you're alone, guys, then you've missed the point of what a quiet time is all about. A quiet time isn't just a time where you can get into the Bible, read a couple verses, not understand what it's saying, close it and put it away and say, oh, I have my quiet time. Your quiet time is meant to be your FaceTime interaction with God. It's supposed to be your FaceTime interaction with God. Are you supposed to be in the Bible? Yes. But it's more than that. You have to spend time in prayer. You have to spend time in worship. You have to spend time interacting with God. And remember, guys, prayer is not just a fancy Bible term. It is actually the term we use to say, I'm talking to God right now. I want you to think of this. Let's say you have someone that comes up to you in school all the time, and they just say, hey, man, I'm going through this, going through this, going through this, going through this. I could really use some help with this, this, and this. Man, you're awesome. I got to go, bye. And they take off. They don't give you a moment to say a word. Is that really a friendship? I'm asking you guys, is that really a friendship or a relationship? It's not. But why do sometimes we act and think like our relationship with God can be like that? Prayer is more than just speaking at God. It's taking the time to quiet ourselves, to quiet our heart, and listen to what He is saying, what He is speaking into our hearts. And guys, this is how this ties into influence. As you get to know somebody, how do you get to know them? Through talking, through having conversations. That's how you get to know people. Now, how can you expect to introduce someone to a person you don't know yourself? How can you expect to introduce someone to a person you don't even know yourself? Or better yet, if you're trying to introduce somebody to Jesus, why would you expect them to want to know Him if you yourself have not taken the time to know Him? Guys, you need to be in your quiet time with Jesus. Your quiet time is about getting to know Him. Because guys, if you get to know Him, influence is just going to happen. As you get to know Him, you get to know what's on His heart. You realize what's His heart beating for. His heart is beating for the nations. You realize that His heart is beating for those kids in your school. You realize that His heart is beating for your family members. As you get to know God, as you get to know Jesus, influence is just going to happen. But you can't do that if you don't spend time with Him. As you talk to Him, maybe some of you are scared because you don't know His voice. But listen, spending time with Him helps you to recognize His voice. I can guarantee you right now that if Mandy called Pastor Carl and he didn't have caller ID on his phone, he would say hello, hear the voice, and recognize instantly that it's Mandy. I mean, if he doesn't, there's something really wrong. But he can do that. That's silly to think that. He would be able to recognize her voice because he has spent time with her, because he has listened to her. He has interacted with her. I had a cool opportunity recently, just kind of walking through a fair, and there was a tent for some Jehovah's Witnesses, and they had a sign out there that said, learn what the Bible really says. And I was walking along thinking to myself kind of arrogantly, like, they don't have the truth. Like, it's a cult. They don't know the truth. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, how will they know the truth unless they're told? And instantly I'm just like, ugh, you're right. You're right. And so I prayed for a second, like, are you wanting me to go talk to them? Is that what you're saying? And so long story short, I went and I talked to them. Had a really cool conversation with them, just sharing about who Jesus is, that He is God Himself. Just really cool. But if I had not taken the time to know Jesus, I wouldn't have been able to hear His voice right then. Listen, guys, I want to encourage you to get to know Jesus. I want you guys to go after Jesus with all you've got. He is worth it. He is worth it. If He thought you were worth it when you were still sinning and still a sinner, come on. He is so good. And guys, as you get to know Him, you get to know who He is to you. Guys, I have, in the past, struggled with hating myself. Hating who I was. I was living in habitual sin and raised in church my whole life, hated what I was doing, hated who I was, and just didn't see why God would accept me. But guys, every time, even right after I would do the sin, I would just cry out. I would ask for forgiveness, not thinking that he would give it to me, but knowing that's what I should do. But each and every time, I was just showered in God's love. And guys, there is nothing that compares to those moments. Just sensing his presence, just sensing his love when I didn't even deserve it. And that just showed me that this is a God that I want to get to know. A God who doesn't count my past against me. A God who doesn't forsake me just because I'm doing something wrong in the moment. A God who is faithful when I am unfaithful. That's what it says in 2 Timothy 2:13. It says, if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. That is so good. That is so good. Think about how great God is. That while you were still a sinner, he died for you. What? And even after you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, sometimes we still try to take back what we gave to him. We try to take back the throne of our life. That's why we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. I heard it said at a winter camp some years ago. He's like, that's the hard thing about a living sacrifice is it keeps trying to climb off the altar. Keeps trying to climb off the altar. Guys, Jesus is so amazing. He's so amazing. I want you guys to realize this, that he is with you. He is no respecter of persons. He doesn't like someone else more because of what they've done. God is no respecter of persons. Think about Paul. Do you know what Paul said about himself? He said, God showed me mercy so that other people could know that he would show them mercy. And he said, these were his words to Timothy. He said, I am the worst sinner of them all. I was the worst, but God still forgave me. We think now about what Paul did after he was saved, how he wrote all those letters, how he's a phenomenal missionary. But he still considered himself to be the worst. If God can do that for Paul, he can do it for you. Jesus is worth getting to know. It's worth being uncomfortable and getting up earlier before school to have that time with him. It's worth saying no to your friends so you can go be alone with Jesus. He is so worth it. Guys, if you will say yes to I will have a personal time with Jesus, then you can say yes, I will be an influencer. Because when you get to know Jesus, when you get to know who he is, you become consumed with who he is and influence just happens. Because you're so in line with his heart that when he even looks, you're looking in the same direction you go.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.